morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, 1st of September. 1st of September, end of the results season, thank goodness, and the start of a new month. Traditionally, this is the month that is the seasonally weakest month of the Australian stock market year, presumably because everyone fears October, which they only do because it just happens to coincidentally have been the month that we saw the 87 crash, and it's perpetuated itself from there. So don't let the voodoo worry you, but seasonally, this is the weakest month of the year. We managed to escape August, or the last day of August, without any end-of-month shenanigans, window dressing or window undressing by fund managers. The market was up 30 points, and what the Lord gives with one day, he takes away with the other. And today we are down 36, having been down 73. We're actually doing pretty well today, having recovered half of our initial losses. That came on the back of Wall Street down 39, our futures this morning down 33, but the main issue overnight is clearly the iron ore price again. We've got Fortescue Metals down 3.7%, BHP down 1.6%, Rio down 2.7% as the iron ore price fell 3.26% overnight. It's interesting that BHP, Rio, Fortescue, having dropped 27% in the case of FMG on the back of a 27% fall in the iron ore price from the recent peak, that whilst BHP and Rio and Fortescue all bounced 10 to 15% or so from the bottom, the iron ore price hasn't bounced at all and now looks like it might be going down again. We'll see what happens over the next few days, but the big top might well be in. BHP goes ex-dividend tomorrow, another reason people might just decide to turf it out after that, and Fortescue Metals goes ex-dividend on Monday. And my guess is that it might go ex-dividend a bit more harshly than usual as the iron ore price drifts away, and as I dare say a lot of people have held in both BHP and FMG because of the dividend against a backdrop of a falling iron ore price, so they will feel free to sell after it goes ex-dividend. GDP numbers this morning were a little bit better than expected, but in this volatile post-pandemic period, it's extremely hard to forecast. The expectation was for a quarter-on-quarter number up 0.5%, it was up 0.7%, and the year-on-year number was up 9.6% against expectations of 9.1%. I wouldn't take too much heart from the idea that that was better than expected. As one economist has written today in the AFR, the narrative of peak growth is upon us. And we've seen this in most Western economies, that GDP has dipped violently in the pandemic, yo-yoed all the way back, and then started to settle down again. And we are still in the yo-yo back, partly because our second quarter GDP number is 2 months out of date. They take so long to calculate it. They seem to be able to do it in 2 weeks in China. It takes 2 months in Australia. Calculated GDP number. I assume ours is more accurate because of it, which of course doesn't say much about the Chinese number, but there we go. Peak growth, we may be. Nickel price hit a record overnight, up 3.24%. We'll come back to that a little bit later. Wesfarmers ex-dividend today, down 3.5%. BHP Woolworths ex-dividend tomorrow. RBA meeting next week. US jobs numbers on Friday, still the main focus, although I think it's going to be a bit of an anti-climax. Powell and the Federal Reserve seem in no rush to start tapering their $120 billion worth of monthly asset purchases, and if they do, they're only going to be turning down the tap a little bit by 15% or so is the expectation. They're not exactly turning it off. Pulling it back by 15% might seem like a big decision, but really it's not. The US is on holiday on Monday for the Labor Day holiday. The US market will be closed. Usually after the Labor Day holiday, Wall Street is supposed to get back to work, but I think COVID might hold up the convincing return to work that you might expect. But anyway, back to business until the next holiday. Hurricane Ida, almost forgotten. Afghanistan, can you believe it? Almost forgotten. As far as the stock market was concerned, it didn't really exist anyway. US consumer confidence hit a six-month low. I saw some article about global growth indicators. In other words, economic releases from a number of companies have all undershot in the last month or two and blamed on the Delta outbreak certainly showing up in US consumer confidence overnight. Not in their house prices, though. Their house prices up 18.6% on the year in the US. Not quite as good as ours. Interesting as well, the US is considering a 25% corporate tax rate and a 31.8% capital gains tax. That sort of slid by in the news wires. But of course, this is a reversal of the Trump tax giveaway in December 2007. I've included a chart of the S&P 500 when this legislation was first introduced by Trump, and I think cemented his relationship with the equity markets. The equity markets absolutely jumped on the back of it, and he suddenly felt he was the knight in shining armor at the front of the crusade for unadulterated capitalism, and his tax giveaway popped the S&P 500 up 8% in a month, couple of months actually. So here we are with Biden suggesting that he reverses that, presumably with a similar sort of impact on the stock market anyway. Right, the nickel price, as most of you know, one of my PA holdings, that means personal account, that means I hold it in my own name, is a nickel stock. In fact, I don't hold it in my own name, it's in the super fund. Is a nickel stock, Poseidon Nickel, and because of the beetle syndrome, which I have written up in the strategy piece today, because of the beetle syndrome, I find myself drawn to nickel news, and today there was an article about nickel on Reuters. Refined nickel inventories on the Shanghai Futures Exchange warehouses have hit a record low. Stockpiles are down 89% this year, and stockpiles in LME warehouses are at the Let's London Metal Exchange. So they're traded, metals are traded on two futures exchanges, obviously Shanghai and the London Metal Exchange. And stockpiles on LME warehouses are their lowest since January 2020. Strong stainless steel and electric vehicle demand driving the price. Wood Mackenzie, a firm I used to work for, Scottish firm, used to be full of management consultants writing reports on companies, and they realized the value of those reports and started producing it as research and started stockbroking. They're also very famous for their coverage of the North Sea oil industry. I used to sit in the room where the guys put that together. People paying tens of thousands of dollars for data on North Sea oil rigs. Seemed like a lot in those days. Anyway, moving on, nickel on the Shanghai Futures Exchange has hit its highest ever. It's up 21% year to date. There has been a strong post-lockdown, obviously not in Victoria or New South Wales, a post-lockdown rebound in global demand. COVID-19 have created supply issues, disrupting distribution. Shipping delays have forced consumers to post orders well ahead of their needs. Expansion of the electric vehicle fleet across the major manufacturers as opposed to the niche manufacturers is supporting the price. Global nickel demand is seen by Wood Mackenzie as rising almost 18% this year. And in the short term, there is a short squeeze in the market. It's short of physical trade, scrambling to cover. So I've put in a list of nickel stocks and a nickel price chart. The only thing that worries me about nickel is the whole resources market seems to be topping out a little bit. And the fact that I'm writing a positive article about nickel, which is serving my own self-interest in Poseidon Nickel, is always something you do right at the top. Hopefully not. But there we go. I've got a list of ex-dividends coming up in the strategy piece today. I've highlighted the big ones for those of you chasing income. I've got a research write-up of some of the stocks that were half interesting me from the results in the last couple of days. One of them is Auto Sports Group. Macquarie have upgraded them to outperform. They've got a target price 17% above the current share price, and UBS have a buy recommendation with a target price 30% above the current share price. Only two brokers that I can see cover it, and they're both super keen. Tom did a buy hold sell on ASG a couple of months ago. Might be an idea or something to have a little bit of a deeper look at, which I haven't done. There's lots of research on Lendlease, presumably after results. If you want a really boring stock, this is the one for you. And all the research is in on Fortescue Metals. You can have a look at that. And Crown, I found that slightly interesting because it turned up on the short-term technical scans as a buy recommendation amidst all the terrible media over their results, disastrous results this week. But a general comment, share prices are about sentiment, and traders can make significant money by picking the extremes of negative sentiment, which is, of course, very hard to do to buy a stock in the teeth of a storm, but it's always in the teeth of a storm that the weather starts to get better, isn't it? Crown is clearly at one of the extremes of negative sentiment. It's also gambling, one of the most robust businesses in human history. At some point, it will resurrect. Then you go and look at the broker research. Macquarie's got a target price 18% above the current share price. price. Ord Minnett 61% above current share price. Average target price 23% above the current share price. One traders might have a look at. I'm not sure you value investors are going to pay it any interest at all. Right, I've got an article today called The Beatles Syndrome. This is something I didn't know anything about till I came to Australia, when my kids would hit me and shout Punch Buggy Red whilst I was driving along. And it must be a part of an Australian culture or something. At least that's what I thought. But it turns out it's not. In 2009, Volkswagen had a Punch Dub campaign. And when you see a Volkswagen Beetle, you're supposed to punch someone and say, Punch Buggy, whatever color it was, red. The thing about the campaign is that it highlights something which goes on in the stock market, which is when you start looking to buy a particular car, any car, you start seeing that car everywhere. And by embedding in people an awareness of Volkswagen Beetles, and when you see them, you should punch someone, it's something that happens in the stock market all the time. If you buy a stock and you're taking, and particularly when you're taking a big position or you've taken a large risk, you start seeing everything related to your risk or your stock whenever it goes past you. Stuff that you might otherwise be blind to unless you actually held the stock. So without the Volkswagen campaign, a red Volkswagen Beetle would go past, you wouldn't pay it any attention. But after the campaign, you immediately pay attention, punch somebody, say Punch Buggy Red. So the same thing goes on with stocks. And I've got a little idea for you today along those lines, which is using the Beetle syndrome to become a better investor. And you do that by collecting ideas and tips and putting them into a watch list, a potential watch list, I've called it. Most of us have got a watch list of everything we hold and we look at it every day, but it's probably far more useful and healthy, and it'll make you more money if you put a list of potential stocks in a watch list. And particularly if you take however much money you've got invested, say it's $500,000, apologies to all you small investors, say it's $500,000, take that $500,000 and put it on an Excel spreadsheet and put it into your list of potential stocks. So you can pull these stocks from anywhere, any idea from anywhere, and you can take as much risk as you like and see how you go on that watch list compared to the stocks you've got. And I can guarantee that the stocks on your potential list, where you're taking a little bit more risk than you would otherwise, start making it onto your real list. And I bet the stocks that are super conservative on your real list, you start to rotate out of them more easily, sell more readily. It's just an opportunity to experiment with your own risk profile. You'll quickly learn where knowledge ends and luck begins. You may find that your real list is far more suited to you than more risky list, in which case you're already pushing the envelope of your risk appetite. But this watch list, potential holdings watch list, is a great place for you to collect ideas, look out for ideas, focus your mind, and embed a few stocks that you don't hold. And by the time they make it into your real portfolio, I can guarantee that you will have lowered your risks by getting to know these stocks before you actually bought them. Anyway, have a read of the article, Beetle Syndrome, and you never know, you might end up with a new watch list by the end of the day. Right, lastly, on this day, have a read of that section. I have got a lot of emails in response to putting this section in, so although it is not stock market orientated, I can tell you it is keeping me sane looking at things outside of the stock market. Some of you may think it's a little bit unnecessary, but judging from the emails, some of you do find it of tremendous interest. Anyway, on this day in 1939, Germany invaded Poland using Blitzkrieg tactics. They found the Titanic at a depth of 4,000 meters, and there was an earthquake in Tokyo in 1923, killed 142,800 people. We forget these things. Anyway, there we go. Our market still coming back, having been down 73, we're now down 22. Resources still on the nose. Banks looking okay. Travel stocks looking okay as well. Tech stocks dead in the water. Dow futures up a healthy 95. You have a fabulous day, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.